and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you for joining us. Well, America has its 45th president, Donald Trump. So let's start our conversation about the inauguration and the upcoming presidency with Dr. Raymond Winbush, who is a professor and director of the Institute for Urban Research at Morgan State University. Dr. Winbush, thank you so much for joining us.
How you doing, Vicki?
Doing well, thank you. Let's just jump right into it. What are your thoughts as the country ushers in President Trump?
Well, you know, I'll echo what Charles Blow said in the New York Times. We should be very afraid. These are very scary times. They're really incomparable to other inaugurations or presidencies. I mean, just the idea that the president-elect is talking about kicking the White House news group out of the White House and moving them across the street. There's been a press corps in the White House since Andrew Jackson. So there's a lot of, you know, things that are worrisome. I think that there's a potential, and I'm not just saying, I say this with caution, but I think there's a potential for a major war involving China. And I don't think these are scary things to say. I think that we have to be ready for something that may be unprecedented in American history.
That's what I wanted to know. Is there another time in American history where you can draw some parallels between what we are seeing today?
Well, there's one. And in terms of black people, mm-hmm. and that would be immediately following the Civil War, the 12 years between 1865 and 1877, where we had this era of prosperity among black people. You know, there was a black governor of Louisiana, several black congresspeople elected and so forth. And then with the compromise of 1877, with the troops pulled out of the South, as W.B. Du Bois said, it was the nadir or the lowest point of the history of black people in this country. So if you want to follow the analogy that Barack Obama, while we didn't agree with everything he did, sure. there was certainly this era of calm that we had in the world and among people in this country. But it was, you know, as you know, following Reconstruction, there was this period of absolute terror that occurred and stayed in place for nearly 80 years after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. It set the stage for Jim Crow.
Absolutely, and Plessy versus Ferguson, which ushered in what I call the American apartheid era. And so it wasn't until 1954, 55, right in that period, right after Brown versus Board, that we see the recovery. And that's why it was called, the civil rights movement was called the Second Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And so, presidents come and go. Mm-hmm. But their policies stay for a long time. This president could theoretically appoint two or three people to the Supreme Court. He's dismantling things that are going to affect millions of people, literally.
Already starting with health care, with Obamacare.
Exactly. So we've got to watch him. And we've got to be more organized about some of the things that we'll be doing as well.
That leads me to my next question. Any advice for minorities, African Americans specifically, during these next 4 years?
Well, you know, as the young folk are saying now, we got to stay woke. Mm-hmm. And I tell young people every day that I told one today, in fact, need to pay more attention to the news, particularly international news. I think that if you aren't a part of a group, an action group, that you should join one. And there's a lot of them. There's more out there besides Black Lives Matter. That's a good one to join. Mm-hmm. But I think that you have to become politically engaged like young people were during the 1960s. I see the opposition of President President-elect Trump. Technically, he's not going to be president for a few more hours. But I see his opposition to him as being one of the most patriotic things that black folk can do and brown people. And hopefully we'll pull together on a lot of this.
so many questions to ask. I want to follow up on the point you made about remaining politically engaged or becoming politically engaged.
Yeah.
President Obama talked about remaining on the sidelines pretty much, but being willing to get into the discussion or the national discourse if core values are at risk,
yes.
He indicated. What
yes.
do you think he meant?
Well, I think that he spoke directly to that yesterday at his last White House press briefing, where he said that if there's a threat to, you know, the so-called Bill of Rights, immigration, talking about getting rid of people in this country, or and he spoke specifically of the Dreamers, also freedom of speech through the press.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are things that we all have to be careful about. You know, many of us see, you know, political engagement primarily when we vote. And we see that as the end of our political engagement. But we have to start looking at voting as the beginning of the political engagement, so that you start voting. If your candidate doesn't win, you continue the process. We should all know who our congresspeople are. Our senators and the president. And I think that those voices can change public policy, as it did with the Vietnam War in the 60s, as it did with rights of women and a variety of other things. So we've got to become politically active, you know, work 2 or 3 hours a week on things that matter to you, particularly those things in the first 10 amendments, you know, of the Constitution.
This idea of political activism is being waged on the front lines by some lawmakers who decided not to attend
yes.
the inauguration. Your thoughts?
They're my heroes. And I think what, you know, President-elect Trump said about John Lewis a few days ago is absolutely reprehensible. You know, John Lewis is close to a saint as far as I'm concerned. And what he said about him, about all talk, 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 no action. He needs to reread the history of Selma and hopefully look at a video of a man who literally almost got killed fighting for freedom in this country for black folk. So I think this, you know, Toni Morrison a few years ago at Howard University gave a speech, talked about the rise of fascism. And I remember when Toni gave that speech, people kind of laughed at her. They didn't laugh at her, but they said, oh, that'll never happen in America.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what President-elect Trump is doing right now, it parallels what Hitler did in Nazi Germany in the late 1920s and the early 1930s. And I think that what we've got to do is be aware that fascism can arise in this country just like it has arisen in places like Germany or the Pol Pot regime under Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, you know, 25 years ago. So we've got to be aware.
One of the pictures that I've seen out of the nation's capital shows the Klan gathering.
Yes, yes, they are. And another time that the Klan gathered was when Woodrow Wilson was elected president, who was a, you know, a strong mm-hmm. supporter of the Ku Klux Klan,
mm-hmm.
you know, who endorsed that racist film, The Birth of a Nation.
Exactly.
And the Klan gathered there. And the Klan, you know, I just read something about this. In fact, the Klan held sway on America roughly from about 1880. I mean, it's still there, but its political power rose in the, 1920. But Donald Trump is a white supremacist candidate. He's mm-hmm. a white supremacist. And we don't want to say that. How could that happen? He's a white supremacist candidate, and the Klan that is marching in Washington tomorrow and has already started marching today represents the people who are following him.
And so is it a natural conclusion to say that we are poised to see a rise in the power of the Klan?
We've already seen it, and we're going to see the rise in a lot of white supremacist groups. He mainstreamed white supremacy during his entire campaign. white supremacy has always been a foundational block of American democracy, but he mainstreamed it. It was always kind of on the margin.
Mm-hmm. It was a fringe element.
It was a fringe element. It's been mainstreamed now. He's welcomed them with open arms. You can see this reflected in his cabinet choices. Mm-hmm. And
with
so
Bannon?
Bannon especially. So we're headed for a period. I mean, everybody's, like I said, we earlier said that it's comparable to the Reconstruction, but I think this is going to be much more impactful in terms of, like, a global relationship. I mean, this toying with Taiwan, mm-hmm. and which is not a legitimate country, as opposed to working closely with China. Mm-hmm. These things are all tipping points for World War III, and I'm not being alarmist. I'm just saying that's a fact.
What is really disturbing is, in the midst of all of these rather reckless moves Trump makes, he seems to then overlay them with moves that seem at best disingenuous. Take, for example, his invitation to Steve Harvey to meet and discuss America's urban areas. Now, that's your expertise. What do you think he really meant when he met with Steve Harvey?
Well, it's like Malcolm X said, these are, Malcolm used the term Negroes, and Steve Harvey, ironically, he and I are from the same town, Cleveland, Ohio. Uh-huh. He wasn't respected then, and he certainly isn't respected now. I think that the white supremacists like Donald Trump are very skilled at picking out people like Ben Carson, mm-hmm. Steve Harvey, Kanye, Jim Brown, my childhood hero who I had to give up. And they're good. The white supremacists are good. They say, see, aren't these black people on our side? During the campaign, when Trump looked over and said, you see our African Americans over here.
I remember that.
Like he owned them. So, Steve Harvey is a clown, but he also works for Donald Trump in the form of being over that Miss Universe contest that he, bungled last year by announcing the wrong person.
Oh, I missed that connection. Dr. Winbush.
So he can call on people like him who really only cares about the money, has no kind of central political core. It's only about his bank account. And he is, I was looking a few minutes ago, Sam and Dave, one of my soul groups back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. Sam sang, and he had a red and white blue flag on and all of this stuff like that. Clarence Thomas, I mean, we know that people have always been sellouts, if you please. Mm-hmm. I call them buck dancers, mm-hmm. in the black community. And we've got them today. Omarosa, that other crazy one, Stacy Dash or whatever the name is. I mean, these are people who have no moral fiber and no sense of who they are and are full of self-hatred.
If Donald Trump is not afraid to run afoul of the mainstream media, the press, what will he do to those who dare criticize him?
Well, he's already hinted at that. I mean, he's shutting people out of the White House. The CNN reporter, Acosta, I believe his name was, last
mm-hmm.
week, who tried to stand up after this scandal broke last weekend about his, I won't say this in everybody, his little plays and things,
the
whatever
dossier.
He was doing in Moscow. Yeah, right. He has already threatened to kick them out of the White House. I think the biggest assault is going to be on the press because, propaganda thrives on one voice rather than many voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the freedom of speech is going to be the first thing that I think Trump is going to go after. Because if he can make one voice coming, we will only know what he tells us.
Exactly.
And that's what you're doing is probably the most important job that can be done is the press has to have a loud and critical voice over this guy.
He's able to shut down the dissenters and tweet whenever he feels like it, which circumvents the role of the press.
And plus, we don't have, this guy is not smart. He's not intelligent. He can't spell. I mean, he doesn't read a book. This is an amazing, they used to say that the dumbest president was Warren G. Harding. But this guy makes Warren G. Harding look like Einstein. I mean, this is a real threat to a democracy. I want my president to be smarter than me, like Barack was, that he knows more than me. This is a guy who doesn't know. And I think it takes a certain amount of intelligence to hold any political office.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly doesn't possess the wherewithal to hold the most powerful office that this world has ever conferred upon a human being, which is the presidency of the United States.
And we are just getting started, and it's already been tumultuous, the transition itself tumultuous. We'll have to talk with you during the course of the coming years. Dr. Raymond Winbush, Director of the Institute for Urban Research at Morgan State University, thank you so much for your insights and your time.
Okay, thank you, Vicki. Take care.
We rarely think about Grandma or Uncle John as victims of domestic violence, but statistically, the elderly are at high risk for exploitation, physical and emotional abuse. The elderly are especially vulnerable as they lack the physical and mental fitness to guard themselves and their property against abusive relatives, neighbors, and strangers. Elder abuse in the African American community is a growing problem. As our families become more mobile, older persons may be overlooked, but seniors need to have their health and safety regularly monitored. Living with a caring family member is ideal, but assisted living environments are also options. If we're lucky, one day we'll all reach a healthy old age. Provide the same care for the elderly now as you will want to receive later. I'm Alexis Comer for Black Health Now.
Black Health Now.
Visit blackhealthnow.com for more important news about your health.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. 800-817-2797. 800-817-2797. 800-817-2797. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. Offer expires 12/31/16. Offer details, license, terms, and conditions available at secureathome.com.
You got it. The Joy Network.
The Village Celebration. 8 years ago, millions packed into the nation's capital to witness the inauguration of the country's first African-American president. Terry Montgomery, a college administrator from Illinois, was among those who braved the frigid weather to watch Barack Obama take the oath of office. And she's joining us with some reflections on that time. Terry, thank you.
You're so welcome, and it's my honor to share some very, very significant moments about that whole era of time in our history.
So what do you remember as the most poignant memory of that day?
Well, there were so many, but I have to say that I had a bit of intrepidation going to the inauguration. I'm a person, I don't like huge crowds and all of that, but I tell you, when I got there, there were so many people, and it seemed like they were on the same accord. Mm-hmm. When we got to the mall area, that area was platted with people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, mm-hmm. all of that, and it really felt like a surreal feeling of, this is what it must feel like to be in unity. There wasn't any negativity at all. And I just looked and stopped in that moment with all of these people here. There are estimate of 2 million people, yet there was no sound. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy. The sound was insulated. It was like a sacred happening of biblical proportions. And I kept wanting to eat the moment. I just wanted to be in it. I wanted to look around. I wanted to see. I wanted to hear all I could hear. And it just struck me that something big was happening in our country. And I could not escape that thought. And looking from one person to the other one, couldn't really even see facial features because we were all bundled so. But everyone just stood there. Whatever they had to do, made way for people who had limitations and things like that, and we all embraced each other, and that's what I felt there.
Mm-hmm. That unity. So let's say 1.8 to 2 million people there for the inauguration in 2009. When you look back, do you think the country lived up to the hope of that moment?
I do believe that the hope surely was presented to us. It was presented to us as a people. We, in my opinion, have not lived up to that hope. I think the reason I was so wanting to be a part of it is because I felt that hope. Mm-hmm. I needed to feel it. I felt it. And I prayed that we would really recognize this as a time of a turning in America, a turning to we, the people. In America, understanding that we are different and we're supposed to be different, and to accept and embrace those differences and continue building a nation where there is mutual respect across the board. Everyone has an opportunity to do wonderful things for the country. I would love for the people of the United States to have a yearning to serve the country. It's not, you know, they, the people. It is we, the people. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've lived up to it. I'm not sure in these uncertain times that we will live up to it in the near future.
That was my next question.
I think that was
question.
Our opportunity.
You think we may have missed our opportunity? Are you saying that because
I
of the
mm-hmm.
the sense of tension that has gripped the country since the 2016 election, and as we start the Trump presidency?
I really do. I mentioned before the feeling that I had, the feeling of hope and all of that, not just because this was such a historic moment with having the first black president. He could have been any color. With that message, mm-hmm. I felt like we were entering into an age of hope, a pivotal moment for us, and a turning away from so much, you know, prejudice and really segregation still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now with this new administration coming in, I do not feel that at all. Mm-hmm. I feel that we have separated even more, that we are more divided. I can't even feel comfortable calling us the United States. because we're not. You have different states wanting to secede from the union. I mean, distancing themselves and saying, hey, we can do this on our own. So, again, ironically, I feel there is a turning, but in a different way.
And that is surprising because the sense of hope and unity in the country in 2009 seems to have evaporated in the midst of the fighting on Capitol Hill. When you look at your memorabilia from President Obama's first inauguration, how will you explain that 10 years, 20 years from now? When you share that with others, what will you say?
I will tell them of the excitement, of the euphoric feeling that I have, so much so that I was compelled every time I saw a magazine, a newspaper, I was grabbing it up.
So how many do you have?
I knew.
Can you tell us?
I'm sorry?
How many magazines and publications do you have?
Oh, my God.
With President Obama, the first family?
The first thing I started doing, they had vendors there with bags. I started taking bags from them, so really good bags with the nice heavy straps on them, because I was stuffing magazines, newspapers, articles, a program, books, everything in these bags. And I would say I had over 100 different publications, because I have nieces, nephews, and, you know, I wanted to frame them. I have all these things framed, and I put up, but they're framed, and they're protected, acid-free, everything.
Oh,
because
great.
That's how significant it was to me, and I bored. I hope I didn't, but I feel like I talked myself silly when I came back, because you want the people that you recant the stories to actually be there, to witness it. You had to be there to witness and to feel the sensation. It was just not me. It was everyone I talked to, strangers I had never seen before in my life.
Yeah, there was such an amazing feeling. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to co-sign what you said, because
I
was there.
I'll just make sure that the folks I encounter, I talk to them like my parents, my uncles and aunts talked to me about Martin Luther King and how they went on many trips across the South, particularly to hear him speak, and how that was for them. Well, this is my Martin Luther King kind of event for my era.
Once in a lifetime.
And, once in a lifetime. Totally once in a lifetime. That's why I had to be there. And everything, the stars lined up that I could go in such a way, if I felt like I was VIP. You know, we stayed in Silver Spring that whole time. We took a train to Washington, D.C., and from 7:30 a.m. on the day of the inauguration to 11:30 p.m., I was there without transportation, so I walked the whole time, and I am so sure I walked at least 10 miles and didn't even notice I was walking, because I was so, you know, engulfed in what was happening with the people and engaging with the likes of B. Smith, other celebrities, Henry Louis Gates Jr. I just bumped into him. He bought us lunch, actually. Blair Underwood was there, Kerry Washington. And it was just, you know, this just does not happen.
No,
but
it's like
happened,
you said,
during that time.
There were Americans from every walk of life in the nation's capital in 2009 and again in 2013. Let's shift gears. What are your thoughts about President Trump's inauguration and the start of his administration? As we wrap up our interview, what are your thoughts?
I wish I could feel the hope and promise that I have felt over the last 8 years. I do feel a sense of being a bit somber. To me, the feeling that I get is not one of unity. I cry for my country. I really do. The vitriol, the hate spewed like venom
the outright racism, the arrogant ignorance of some people who hold the stage and a microphone. And what that does is all of the people who also have those that maybe have them embedded and controlled, in a sense, now have a ticket to say, I'm going to say exactly what I want to say, and it's just going to fly. I cry for the country, and I pray that people understand that ultimately I'm a spiritual person, and I do know that God is in control, ultimately, of all of these things. But I'm hoping that we can continue being a country that will support the notion of unity and understanding we have a constitution for a reason. And we can acknowledge our differences and not hate each other for our differences, but work together to make a better country for us and those who come after us.
Well said. Well said. Terry Montgomery, college administrator from Illinois, who attended the inauguration of President Barack Obama in 2009, with her reflections on that time and these.
Heads up, people. Join us June 8th through the 10th, 2017, for a Father's Family Affair. It's a day to accentuate, celebrate, and motivate positive fathers in our community. On that day, we'll uplift and show some love to the dynamic men in our lives, our brothers, uncles, fathers, and friends. Support this event with your tax-deductible contributions. Proceeds for the event go to Part of the Solution, a great nonprofit right here in the Little Rock area. Tell a friend, tell your church, tell everybody. A Father's Family Affair, June 8th, 9th, and 10th, Philander Smith College Campus. Come out and enjoy a day of hula hooping, water gun fights, and Zumba dancing, along with a uniquely natural hair fashion show. Black Writers on Tour, Southern Edition, featuring Kendra Norman and Dr. Rosie Milligan. That's just the start. We'll see you there June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Go to afathersfamilyaffair.com. Don't miss it.
If you're like me, always on the go without the time to constantly detail your car, then you need to try Miracle Glaze products. Miracle Glaze is the world's best tire shine. It's water resistant and guaranteed to leave a glossy finish on tires that last for weeks. Just spray, let it dry, and you're good to go with a non-drip, non-slinging look people can't help but notice. If you're really trying to make a statement, complete the look with the Miracle Glaze Wash and Wax. You can get yours at MiracleGlaze.com, HHM.com, or call 501-454-6630. Miracle Glaze, it's the pro's choice.
Pick up some today. Non-sling Miracle Glaze, super gloss tire dressing.
Are you tired of the same old fast food? Let Mrs. T's and Dora's House take you on a taste down memory lane with such goodies as the Singing Center Burger, the Wing Ding Basket, and of course on Sundays, let's not forget, we call it Soul Food Sunday. Located at 2601 Springer Boulevard in Little Rock, Arkansas, Mrs. T's and Dora's House has all the great goodies you expect. In a hurry? Call in orders at 501-904-5309 or just walk in. Whether it's lunch or dinner, Mrs. T's and Dora's House has something to tickle your taste buds. Come on by. That's Mrs. T's and Dora's House, located at 2601 Springer Boulevard, or call 501-904-5309. That's 501-904-5309. That's Mrs. T's and Dora's House. Well, love is the main ingredient.
listening to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. We are joined now by our Washington correspondent, Mundell Robinson. Mundell, thank you so much for being with us. No way could we leave you out of this conversation with a new president in office. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, hello, Village, and Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you all since the year began. It is a new president, and it's a new era. Yesterday, during preparations for the inauguration, I was driving back in the district, and they began to close the roads, and I realized that it was a different era when I saw signs up and down Georgetown saying things like, we finally got our country back from them, from him. And I see more Confederate flags in Washington, D.C. Than I've ever seen. So, yes, we are in a new era with a new president who is dead set on changing the way we look at the presidency. And I don't think he's set in a good way. He is our first. If Obama was our first social media president, Donald Trump is definitely our first reality TV president.
What about this rebel flag and the pictures of the Klan so visible in Washington, D.C.?
It's a strange thing in a nation that proclaims to be the freedom or the nation that guards freedom around the world, democracy-loving nation, in our capital to see white nationalists and people who are screaming and saying all types of racist statements proclaim that their president is Donald Trump. Our president is their president, and he stands for their right, and they are protected, and they are safe, safer than they've been in a long time under this presidency. And the Confederate, you know, America being a country that loves the Stars and Stripes and Old Glory so much, I find it extremely hypocritical that the Confederate flag means so much to these same group of folk. It's strange to see them juxtapose our walls laced with words of the Constitution and the diversity that D.C. offers.
Let's unpack this. How did this happen? You own a political consulting company, and you've worked with Senator Elizabeth Warren. You've worked with leading Democrats. How did this happen?
A couple things happened so as to make this the perfect environment. None more important, though, than the fact that Democrats thought Donald Trump was running an election to get the white vote. In actuality, Donald Trump had a campaign of whiteness. Donald Trump did not start his campaign 18 months ago to be president of the United States. He started 5 or 6 years ago when he became the loudest birther in the country.
Do you think that was by design?
Absolutely. Okay. If we look at the numbers, it's written as clear as a brand new glass. Donald Trump saw that 30% of United States citizens believed that President Obama, even till today, is a Muslim. So with that much support to such nonsense, and I'm not saying it's nonsensical to be Muslim, I'm saying it's nonsensical to continue to call the president a Muslim once he said he's a Christian.
And was born in this country.
And exactly. So once you hear this, these things, and people believe that type of rhetoric, the feat to get to presidency is less than 27% of the vote. And then that became evident that it was possible when there was a study that came out that said 67% of Donald Trump voters believe that black people were more violent than white people. But that's not how he did it. How he did it was that same study done by Pew said that 36% of Hillary Clinton voters believe the same thing. So if he had 32 believing that the president or the past president, Barack Obama, was already a Muslim, even though he said he wasn't, and we know the negative connotation they attached to that, and then another 30% saying that black people are more violent, then it's written in the wall how he became president. And you couple that with the fact that we had a candidate, when I say we, I mean progressives, we had a candidate that was flawed, and also the FBI leaking horrible information like they're going to do an investigation 9 days before the election. This makes it extremely easy for Donald Trump to be president of the United States.
It sounds like America this bastion of freedom and democracy is that on paper, but that is not what we saw during the election, and who knows what we will see in the next 4 years. So minorities, specifically African Americans, can take cover where?
What
do you recommend?
In the same streets and neighborhoods we've always taken cover in. I don't think, and here's the truth of the matter. We see a lot of fear, rightfully so. The policies that this gentleman, our current president, espoused on the campaign trail are dangerous, not just to minorities, to a lot of working class white folk will be hurt by these policies if enacted as well. But this is not a new space for black people. Mm. We're used to presidents ignoring our needs and in some cases, expounding on our oppression. Mm-hmm. So we're no stranger to the space we find ourselves
That's
in.
True.
The difference is a lot of our white counterparts feel like they're here with us. This is the fervor you see with the Women's March that's going to happen on Saturday tomorrow. And on some of the protests, the 100 days of rage that people are calling for. I will caution people, though. I will caution people and say that we are in a different America. This was the last president's election where the baby boomers will be the majority of voters. From this election forward, that majority will be people of Generation X and millennials. Mm-hmm. And I said that to say that these two generations are 42, almost 44% non-white. So the baby boomers were 71% white. So this is a bigger than Donald Trump's election. This is white America not understanding its loss in traction. The way forward is not the white vote. The white vote is divided.
So maybe this was
go ahead.
A last gasp, if you will.
Well, we and you're absolutely right. And I mean, like, you can actually call it that, and be more accurate than most of the statisticians from this past election cycle, because we saw not just rural conservatives voting for
precisely
Donald Trump. Donald Trump actually won some of the white Democrats in Pennsylvania and in Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
So this is not white
educated
this is not a conservative
voters,
problem. This
college
is educated white
voters.
Folks. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But this is the last election cycle that this can happen. I mean, we're sitting on the cusp of Georgia being the next presidential election. Georgia will be a majority black state, not minority, majority black state. If Democrats play cards properly and stop advertising solely to white women and Rust Belt white folk and start talking to black people, the new majority, the new American majority is strong enough to carry any candidate for it. We saw this with Obama.
So what do you see? You're in the nation's capital. What's the feeling there in the aftermath of the inauguration? Of course, it's a celebration for those who voted for President Trump. What do you think they are expecting? Because I've read that some of the white nationalists feel like he might not really be on their team.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about a couple of the white national organizations feeling that Donald Trump isn't the way forward, but it's a right direction. But I can't tell, judging from the current climate in the nation's capital, there's so much camouflage, and not to say that people who are camouflage are white nationalists, but there's so much camouflage with Confederate flags laced on top of them, and so much horrible rhetoric being spilled about what was the problem of America and how it's been corrected with the raising of a right hand of someone who the white nationalists supported openly. So I think the nation capital and what white nationalists and also folk that voted for Donald Trump are expecting, they're expecting him to deliver on what he said. Mm-hmm. The tragedy is Donald Trump doesn't understand what he said and how to deliver on these things. He's already quivering with the Central Intelligence Agency and the intelligence community. He's already tweeting controversial things that I think are excellent when he said that he guarantees health care for all Americans. Well, that's wonderful. That's called single-payer health care. But that's not what your voters are supporting.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And I don't think Donald Trump or his voters know what to expect, which is why his approval rate is lower than any president in recent history, with 27% right now.
Let's take a break right there, and we'll come right back with more from Mondale Robinson, our Washington, D.C. correspondent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the intimate realm. A one-day worship symposium with Pastor Rod Lumpkin.
So, Lord, our prayer is that you will keep us ever before you.
And Amante Lacey.
Your majesty, Lord, we believe.
Saturday, February 25th from 10 till 2 with evening worships at the well. Of course, at In His Presence Ministries.
When all else has been said, Jesus.
4700 South Bowman Road in Little Rock. Call today for more information at 501-246-3305. February 25th, it's a Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m. Come to the intimate realm for a one-day worship symposium. Pastor Kevin Riley invites you to experience Pastor Rod Lumpkin and Amante Lacey. That's Saturday, February 25th at In His Presence Ministries, 4700 South Bowman Road in Little Rock, or go to ihpwm.org.
Anniversary celebration continues at joinedradio.com, and we're passing the savings on to you business owners and entrepreneurs. Joined Radio professionally designs your business commercials targeting your specific audience. We then strategically place your commercial in our weekday rotation. We throw in weekends just for kicks. We also include our social media network blast. That's only about 20,000 people who interact with Joined Radio on a regular basis. Don't fret on the price. It's only $375. The tickets, you say. Call Joinet Radio today at 855-525-5683. We're holding this over for a limited time, so check your budget and call 855-525-5683. Ask for JC Love, Jenny Love, or Dynamic Dave. It's the 5th anniversary advertising package. What a great deal.
Slow credit? Bad credit? No credit. No problem. Butler Furniture Depot has a no-credit check purchase plan with 90 days same as cash to qualify. 1 month on the job with a $1,200 a month income and have an active checking account. Congratulations, you're approved. Go by one of our three locations in Little Rock, North Little Rock, or Conway and take advantage of some of our super saving outstanding deals.
Who done it? The Butler done it. Butler Furniture Depot.
Pastor, do you have someone who's reliable and knowledgeable about your taxes? Hi, I'm JC Loves, and as most of you already know, I'm a pastor. Let me tell you who I use at tax time. W.C. Mitchell & Associates. W.C. Mitchell & Associates specializes in pastor tax return preparation, and this is key, Pastor. With the demanding requirements of the IRS, you're going to need a company who offers expert assistance and guarantees that you'll never be assessed late fees or penalties. It's W.C. Mitchell & Associates Tax and Financial Services at 201 West Broadway at Suite F in North Little Rock. Do it today, preacher. Whether you're a pastor or not, W.C. Mitchell & Associates can help you out. Pastor tax preparation for salary, housing allowance, deferred compensation, investment counseling, payroll, social security, retirement, estate planning, and much more. W.C. Mitchell & Associates is expertly familiar with all IRS tax codes. So call today. You need this, preacher. 501-324-2690 or stop by W.C. Mitchell & Associates Tax and Financial Services, 201 West Broadway, Suite F in North Little Rock.
Thank you.
joining us. You're listening to The Village Celebration, and we're glad you're with us. Mundell Robinson, our Washington, D.C. correspondent, is joining us now. Mundell, President Obama has headed for Palm Springs, we're told, he and the first family, but he indicated at his last press conference as president that he might reengage in the national discourse if America's core values are in jeopardy. What do you think he meant?
Simply that he's too young to go anywhere. the president
at 55, yes.
I don't think he has any inkling, or he didn't give any inkling that he's going anywhere, and I don't think he should. He has a massive organization already built, and it's ready to turn into something else, very similar to probably what Howard Dean's folk did after he lost the election. The Marxists for America created a political action committee that became one of the strongest political action committees in the country as it pertains to progressive policy and also candidate support. But the president has hinted, I think some of the insiders are saying that he's going to launch a digital media campaign or company, I'm sorry. So I think messaging means so much to this president, and he understands it better than most. So I think we're going to see the president move over into the digital media part of social policy. And what a wonderful way to go when we know people are. We have become an app people to see that the president that won sweeping victories and, you know, gave us Obamacare and so many other things who eliminated the pay gap for women in federal government as it pertains to their male counterparts.
Mm-hmm. Lit better.
Mm-hmm. So I to see this president and those types of ideas becoming available to folk on an app or through social media is exciting. And it's just going to expand his legacy. I also believe that we see Eric Holder on the eve of the inauguration of Donald Trump launch an effort that he's calling redistributing democracy, where he's going to fight to redraw these gerrymandered districts. I don't think that was a happenstance.
Mm-hmm. The timing of it, mm-hmm. Coinciding with the President Obama leaving office. I've read where President Obama, like it or not, is, and I actually like it, is the leading Democrat by far. But the name that also is mentioned quite often is the Massachusetts senator with whom you have worked, Elizabeth Warren. She really spent some time the past week or so grilling these Trump nominees for cabinet positions. Your thoughts?
She's a champion. She just announced that she's going to run for re-election. State of Massachusetts is blessed to have her as a senator, and we are blessed to have her in the United States Senate. She's cut her teeth on protecting consumers and students, college students, and their debt. So we will continue to see her being a champion of people and people's issues. I think for the very long into the future, until she's ready to retire, I don't see her chasing another position at vice president or president. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's her path. I think she see her path for it as defending Massachusetts mm-hmm. and Teddy Kennedy's seat.
What about Bernie Sanders? He's been quite visible. I noticed he was at Ebenezer on Dr. King's holiday.
Yes, Bernie Sanders has, as you know, launched a political action committee himself, and they are doing tremendous work to call our revolution, supporting candidates up and down the ballot. I think, there's some right now. I feel like the Democratic Party is in a space where they're trying to figure out who the leaders will be going forward. I'm not saying that there's a shortage in leadership and progressive policies or ideas. I do think that we're in a new moment, and this moment's going to call for a different type of leader. And hopefully the party will follow the likes of leadership of Keith Ellison. I know the DNC has an election coming up, mm-hmm. and Keith Ellison hasn't had a net race, and he's an organizer by trait, and he wins his elections by large margins. So I think the Democratic Party, the next standard bearer for the party, needs to be along the lines of a Keith Ellison.
Keith Ellison.
We have some wonderful women of color that just got elected to the Senate that are going to be some amazing champions and firebrands that we have something to look forward to. And who knows, you know, Camilla out of California, new senator out of California will be
Camilla Harris.
People are touting her as what Obama was, you know, so who knows what the leadership will look like.
There is a lot of excitement around Senator Camilla Harris from California. What about New Jersey Senator Cory Booker?
I think Cory Booker will be a Democratic stronghold or name for a long time to come. I don't see him being his stance on education and some of the stuff that happened in New Jersey probably has tarnished his the ideas of him being on anyone's presidential ticket.
That brings us back to former President Barack Obama and what the future will hold for him and how he will engage during the Trump years, if at all. The stage is set, I would say, for some very interesting politics in America.
You're absolutely right. I don't see this president, again, being as passive or as quiet as his predecessors. And the time is right when you have a new president who tweets like a 13-year-old, literally. We may need to be reminded what a regal president looks like and behaves like. And we may need those words of encouragement in the days ahead. So I'm excited that this president is willing to dance in this arena, even though he's no longer an occupant of the White House.
I think he felt, former President Obama, I think he felt the nation's uncertainty when he spoke during that press conference and said America will be okay. It was very parental.
You're absolutely right.
Very parental. Like, it's going to be okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah, right. And I think he's reminding a lot of people. When you see the incoming president, this is a president that just, less than 2 months ago, 3 months ago, won an election to be president of the United States, and your approval rate is 27%. That's definitely a cry for help. So that's Obama being aware, as he always is, to what people are saying, not the talking head in the bubble that is D.C. So he's an organizer at his heart, at his core, and that's what the people need to hear, that we're going to be okay, and also that America is stronger than one man's ability to do too much damage.
All right. That is a very nice way of wrapping up things as we conclude this special edition of the Village Celebration. Thank you so much, Mondale Robinson, our Washington, D.C. correspondent, for joining us.
You
have heard the first installment in the Trump administration of the Village Celebration. We appreciate you joining us and know that we are here for the coming years. Many of our countrymen and women are on edge, wondering what the next 4 years will bring during a Trump presidency. after the leadership of Barack Obama, dignified, measured, and smart. It is certainly understandable given the performance that we witnessed during the election season and what we saw during the transition. Dr. Raymond Winbush indicated when we started this conversation that it's important, it's imperative that Americans become politically engaged, perhaps now more so than ever. So look around. If you have not joined with an organization that reflects your values, your ideas, now is a good time to look for one. It's much easier to become involved than to wait and see what happens. It might be too late to play a role. This is our country. No matter the color, the creed, the religion, this is our country. And it is our job, as former President Barack Obama indicated, to care for it. In the village, we look forward to working with you to preserve a republic that all of us love.